Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Jazakallah khair for joining us for another episode. Today we have I'd say a Mississauga staple, but I think you transcend.
Maybe GTA.
GTA? I don't know. I've seen you do work across the world too, so, you know. But alhamdulillah, I think that it's important that forget about geography, you know. I think that it's amazing to have someone here with us today who advocates for the ummah and what's happening around the world while also putting at the forefront, you know what, like there's things in this world that you need to get done and make sure you do them well so that you can do the work that matters as well. And speaking up for women, speaking up for the people in Gaza, the Uyghurs, the you know, the Muslims around the world, the people around the world that may not have a voice. I genuinely appreciate that and have been following that for a while. And I think that having you here is an honor, and having that conversation is I'm super excited for. So JazakAllah khair for being here.
JazakAllah khair for having me. I'm really excited, and it's nice to meet someone who's kind of followed that journey, because I feel like a lot of people now know me for the Palestine advocacy. They don't really know my story from before, so it's nice to know that
you're
kind of aware of that.
No, I was talking to Ammar, who helps produce this whole show, by the way, and he was like, I don't remember what her shots are. Oh, I'll get to them.
Yeah, sure. Don't you worry about it. Do you know? Yeah, let's next detail, please. Because
yeah, we followed that journey for a little while now, and alhamdulillah, you know, and it's been fun to watch. But I think what's been consistent is this belief, you know, you've always been very confident in whatever it is that you double down on. And you had not just been confident, I think that you tried to be excellent in it every single time. So I, you know, when you gave up, I mean, when the salon shop shut down, I was like, okay, cool. Then when I saw the next phase, I was like, oh, so she's trying to take over this part of it too. And then when I saw the advocacy, I was like, oh, so she's trying to do it again too. So,
oh yeah, there's always a problem to solve. Nah. And honestly, it's bittersweet when you move on to the next thing sometimes, especially when you have to leave the other one behind. But there comes a point where there's so many young people who are solving that problem, they don't need me anymore, so that you can move on. But it's still like a bit of a heartbreak, because every business or every thing that you start, is your baby. It's part of you. So
yeah.
I was thinking about Salam Shop on the drive here, and I haven't thought about it for a long time. I closed the shop because they were demolishing it. Yeah, they were turning it into condos. And at the same time, I was pregnant with triplets.
Yeah.
So it lined up. And I remember that decision of like, am I going to keep the shop? Am I not? Was so like weighing so heavily on me. And then I got the letter saying like, we're demolishing the building. So I was like, subhanAllah. Yeah. With the triplet pregnancy, like that's when I realized like I had so much more to look at after that, because I could see those things happening instantly in my life. The difficulties I had were just being solved by Rasulullah. So yeah, I wish the shop existed, because I would love to show my kids, but there's so many other options now. We just take Cooper Ridgeway Plaza and there, guess.
In that transition from one thing to the next, right? This scenario, from salon shop to motherhood. And then there was the consultancy and the marketing and sales professional. Like, what are some lessons that you have taken from each, you know, phase?
From each phase. It's tough, because right now I'm in the stay-at-home mom phase. So it's really actually emotional to even look back at all those things, because you do miss it. And for any women that are listening, it's hard when you've always been working and like working 110%.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're in this different phase. But I think the wakil is like the number one like aspect, that with each sort of phase, my filoquial just increases because my last position, which was the director of marketing at Droplets of Mercy, that was actually my dream job.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was my dream job. If you look at, like, my Facebook profile, which I'm aging myself, but if you just look at, like, go through my profile pictures, you will literally be like, oh, my God, like, her whole journey was leading her to this position. Like, marketing was something that I always loved, and charity was something I was so passionate about. And even the influencer card, like, I had this picture that was like, all I want is world peace and a manicure. Like, that just describes who I am. Like, it's, you know, the best of both worlds. But from each phase, it's just kind of putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realizing that there is something better for you.
Yeah.
Because at the stop of each phase, I literally was devastated. Yeah. And even now with, like, the last phase that ended, it's devastating. Like, who am I? What am I going to do? Is anything ever going to be as exciting as that? Am I going to feel as passionate about anything else? And I mean, I'm inspiring myself right now because I was feeling really down. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it was always something better. It was always something that was better for my life, was better for my situation. And, like, even in terms of, like, the barakah in your wealth, it was always better for me. And at the time, you don't see it. But yeah, subhanAllah, when you look back.
So that's the thing, though. I think a lot of people stop there, right? Like, they stop at that devastation that I have to now move on from this thing. Oh my God. Why was this taken from a stop? Like, it's like, yeah, they just, like, emo. For whatever reason. And I think about the stories of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam during the Battle of Badr, right? Right before the Battle of Badr, like, the Sahaba, they were pretty nervous, you know, like, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like, how? And even though they were guaranteed, they're like, but what it didn't do was stop them from the action, right? And similarly, I mean, no battle of Badr, but when I'm really tired and I gotta wake up for Fajr, dude, it's like,
oh yeah,
come on. And if it stops me from the action, that's it, there's nothing there. But if I think that for us as Muslims, our challenge is to get through that, our the test is to get through that, right? And so going back to you, a lot of people stopped it, right? Now, I know you talk about when you look back, you see that there is something better planned for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how do you get to that point of being able to see, right? Like, how do you get past that difficult period? What are you eating on, or what kind of things do you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think even just from what you were saying, I was thinking about how for me, it's always about the intention. And that's what my membership was called when I worked with Muslim women entrepreneurs. It was called Intention. Because Allah rewards us for our intention. So whether my business makes like 100K this year or $1, like if my intention was to help a million people, He's going to reward me for that as long as I'm putting in the effort. So I think what keeps me going is just ensuring that I do have that intention, like the pure intention. And I'm set like very specific intentions with everything. So even now I've been wanting to start something and it just hasn't been working, but I know that I set that intention, and regardless if it takes me 12 months or 12 years to get there, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gonna reward me for that. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, I think but the intention comes at the beginning, right, most of the time. But I guess in this scenario you renew your intention at the end as well, like, oh man, like I'm devastated that this shop was taken from me.
Yeah.
But actually, like, what was my intention in this in the first place? Oh, it was this? Okay. So in that scenario, like.
Yeah. Then I'll add to that is the mentors, like the people along the way who are either, yeah, they're either like a couple steps ahead of you or they're like religious mentors. So like Anse Tamara Gray, she's a teacher who I really look up to. And I feel like I have a relationship with her such that I can ask for these questions and she will not sugarcoat the answer. She'll just full out like tell you how it is, and sometimes you need to hear that. But along the way I have always like sought out mentors who have either been there and done that, or they're in a different field, but they kind of look at what I'm going through and say like, hey, I went through something similar, like this is what it's gonna look like, and you will get there, because you need that. Like, you can't do this alone. You need to have that support. Like, I can think of people right now who I literally still lean on when I'm like, what's happening? And you need to have that. You can't do it alone.
Yeah.
You can't. I think maybe the people who kind of quit and are like, I'm done, maybe they didn't have that support.
I also think that this is, and a lot of people, you know, it's, what's that story of, you know, a man was drowning and then the boat was, and he's like, God will save me. And then the boat came by and he was like, hey, jump on. And he was like, no, man, I'm good. Like, God will save me. And then when he died, when he drowned, God was he was like, God, like, I thought you were going to come see me. He's like, but I sent you a boat. I'm not.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's Allah's way of providing that guidance or that. But if you don't have that intention, if you don't have that tawakkul, if you don't have that belief in Allah, you could put someone in front of you to help you out and you just won't see it. Or, you know, it'll put an opportunity in front of you and you just won't see it, you know? So,
yeah. I think my faith has gotten stronger along the way. Like, before I started Salam Shop, I actually went for Hajj, and that's what, like, changed the trajectory of my life. I was completely lost. I even had a book that was called Islam for Dummies. And I grew up Muslim. My parents taught me everything. I pray, I did all the things, but it was just like, maybe, I don't know if people listening have felt this, but I just felt so lost. Like, what was my purpose? And I felt so stupid because I'm like, I'm so educated. Like, I'm doing all these things, but like, I don't feel like I have a purpose. So I literally, at that time, I was working at an engineering startup. I literally emailed Dar al-Salam and was like, do you have any spots for Hajj? And Hajj was like in 2 months at that time. And they were like, we have 2 spots left. It's the executive package. This is how much it is. I literally got a money order. I didn't even ask my husband. I got a money order for both of us. I, like, on my drive home, I dropped it off. And then when we got home, I was like, babe, I signed this up for much. She was like, what are you talking about? Like, what? And I was like, don't worry. Like, we'll figure it out. But, like, you need to take these weeks off. And that in itself, like, that urgency was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was like, this girl. And then that completely changed my life. So then I feel like it's also like an unfair advantage almost, because that has been guiding me through everything. Like, anytime I'm lost, it's like istighfar. Anytime I don't feel like I have a mentor, it's the hajj. Like, I just keep being pulled back, because at the end of the day, it is you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, even if you don't have anyone, you always have him, and he does answer. Like, he answers in, like, granting you certain things, or like, even just like, I have triplets. Like, we didn't talk about that. I don't know, mom of triplets. Like, my triplets are a miracle, subhanAllah. So, like, I was never supposed to have kids. I was definitely never supposed to get 3-in-1. They were 29 weekers. I was definitely not supposed to have healthy children. Like, every single step of the way, he just keeps sending me these messages, and you can't ignore them.
Yes.
So even when I'm on, like, a really low, when I'm feeling really low, those things are all around me. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, Allah did this for me. Of course he's going to do this. Like, of course he's going to help. And yeah. So, like, holding on to your faith, the whole.
Well, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
I appreciate all of that, because, man, there's so much in that, whether it be the Hajj story, whether it be the children. Obviously, your journey to having children, based off of what you're saying, was a completely different one.
Yeah.
And we talked about the business, and it's all, I think that it isn't the person to recognize that, though. You know, it isn't the person to recognize that. I think, you know, thinking about all of this, we talked about this earlier, and I think it's very recent, so I'd love to bring it up, is you recently started a new social identity.
Yeah, that's a cool way to say it.
You restarted a social identity where, you know, your original one, Salam Sala, had grown a lot, alhamdulillah, and then you had changed like a lot of your content from marketing, sales, business, mentorship to advocacy for what's happening around the world, and specifically in Palestine. And you talk about your journey on how much business you lost or how many followers you lost and this, that, and the other. And then recently you started a new social identity, Instagram, where you're like, you know what? These two identities will live separately, I guess. But to me, you know what I saw? I was like, yo, she's restarting. Like, this trust in Allah that whatever is written for me or whatever Allah had given me will resurface in some way, shape, or form. It was like mind blowing. But talk us through that. Like, how did you get there, or what was going through your mind, or what are you thinking about for the future? Talk us through that, Tawfiq.
Yeah, for sure. So most of you probably know me from the Salam Sada account. I just started a new account like a week ago. Before October 7th, I had probably 70,000 followers, which took like a lifetime to build up to. And most of my followers followed me for small business advice, motherhood, or they were just, you know, supporters from the community. And then this wasn't the first time I stood up for Beza. I think what was different this time is one of my mentors, well, she became a mentor. I had reached out to her in the early days of advocacy for Palestine after October 7th, and I had called her about asking her about something. And my starting line to her was like, well, I need smart people to tell me what to do. And I was referring to her. And she said, but Sadaf, you are smart people. And I was like, no, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know anything about this. And she's like, Sadaf, you are smart people. And it was literally this one woman saying that to me, which basically made me feel so confident to do what I was doing on my page, and was like, wait a second, I don't need to ask anyone's permission to post. I don't need to ask anyone's permission to share my opinion online. And then once I started doing that, my page blew up like crazy. I mean, I was posting like a million times a day. But yeah, so at one point I was up to like 270,000 followers. Instagram kicked out a bunch of people. So I'm at like 259K right now. And I did lose all of my brand partnerships. At that time, I did have one partnership in the works, which they told me you don't have to post once they saw what I was saying. And then nobody reached out to me. There was Muslim brands who would reach out to me. So the Ramadan after that all started, I did have some brand partnerships. And then it just started feeling weird posting about things related to products and brands.
Yeah.
Beside a post about like 100 people were killed in Rafah. Like, it just didn't feel right. So I went through phases. If you've been following me, you've seen like I've gone through phases. Well, I'll share personal content, and then I'll share the news, and then I stop completely and nobody knows where I am or what I'm doing, and then I start again. So I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
And I realized that it's just like I just need to be all in, and I don't need to ask anyone's permission. And although I did, like, of course I reached out to a couple of people, did not necessarily listen to all of their advice, but I basically was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to just dedicate this page to advocacy. And like, it gets so many views right now, so it makes sense for this to just focus on advocacy. And I am feeling a pull towards going back to my own personal brand.
Yes.
And being able to elevate small local businesses and being able to do things like this and share it while not feeling guilty about my friends in Edaza who are going through a lot. Like, I want to separate it. I am still fully like going to advocate for Beza on the page. I mean, I post way more on my advocacy page than the personal one hardly has anything right now. And in terms of like brand partnerships, I mean, people told me, well, you're not going to be getting paid like as much as you would on your main page. And even people who've reached out to me recently, I'm like, well, if you want to collab, I'm only going to share it there. And they're like, well, no, like,
oh, wow,
we need you to share it here. And I'm like, I don't know. So yeah, I'm basically starting from zero. And that's hard because it's been a long time since I've started from zero. So it's rough. Yeah. I don't know if it's the right decision, but it's the decision I
have
made, and I'm going to run with it.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, when you don't have anyone else, you still have Allah and turn it to Him. I mean, in that journey, it seems like there were lots of moments of being lonely, right? Business associates turning away from you, friends, people, acquaintances, people that you work with, et cetera, et cetera. You're all like, hey, wouldn't do it. And, 100%, I can imagine that there are times along this. Like, what did that feel like, and how did you sort of deal with that, cope with that?
Yeah, I think I'm a middle child, so I'm used to that. Used to always being like the odd one out. So I being like a little different, so it felt kind of normal.
Yeah.
I did keep coming back to my mentor saying, like, you are smart people. Like, honestly, like, it sounds so cheesy. And it's Dr. Sabrina. You guys might know her. I kept coming back to her, who's, like, highly educated, like, very smart, like, very aware. I kept coming back to her telling me, like, you are smart people. And the fact that I, like, in those moments, I would tried to strengthen my faith and then see what would happen. Like, did I still feel a certain kind of way? Did I feel like I was making the wrong decision? And this is cheesy as well. I would think about, like, what would my mom say? Although, like, I didn't talk to my mom. I don't talk to her about social media and stuff. But I would just be like, okay, what would, like, my mom say? My mom would just say, like, stop posting yourself altogether.
Yeah.
But she would be happy for me to, like, just do advocacy on that page, or just, like, you know, leave it for a bit and not do anything and you know, kind of make that decision later. And then I mentioned Odd Say Tamara too. Like, anytime I attend a class or a lecture where we do Tafsir of the Quran or even just halathas about different topics, it always brings you back to those decisions of, like, okay, this is so much easier to make this decision now.
Yeah.
Because it's actually not that serious. Like, it's actually not, and it isn't. I don't think it's that serious. And I said this about my marketing job before too. Like, I'm not saving lives. Like, it's not, like, it's Instagram. It's social media. Like, it's money. Like, we're all going to die. Like, it's just money. It's just, yeah, it's just social media. Like, it's not that serious, especially when you see what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah.
And, like, I've seen what's happened to the Uyghurs, and it's just not that serious.
Yeah. What about like, when you have that sense and when you believe that, you know, what you're doing is right and you have this trust in Allah, you know, Allah has promised to those who give that He will give more. And we, you know, we learn about barakah in our wealth, but we learn about how our rest is written. So was there you turning away all of this and you switching directions and standing up for what you believe in and what you believe is right? Like, how did it show up in your life? How did it show up in your life in other ways?
Yeah, crazy story. SubhanAllah, by the way, I tell my kids that all the time. Like, I tell them the more you get, the more you get. I also tell them the more grateful you are, the more you will receive, because, you know, kids are really ungrateful these days. But crazy story about that. SubhanAllah, this has happened multiple times. I'll tell you two stories. So this was like probably 2024 at some point, I had gone hard at advocacy on social media, lost all my brand deals, like was making no money from Instagram essentially. And I had this lady who was organizing my house. She came, she was organizing my house. And at that point I had, you know, lost a ton of money from what potentially I could have made. And while she was tidying the office, she like found a check. And she was like, oh, this looks like it was an envelope. Sorry. She's like, it looks like this is from the government. You should probably open this. And I'm notorious for like getting mail and not opening anything. And it was like a when I opened it, I started bawling because the amount that was written on it, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I've never received such a check from the government ever. I have an accountant and she probably told me, you know, you might be getting some sort of rebate, but like, I didn't really. And I saw it, and that was my message, like, directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, like, look, I am going to, you know, provide for you. So that was, like, one moment. And then, subhanAllah, literally last week, and, like, I don't want to get another saying this, but, like, it happened again. It's happened twice, actually, since I quit my job, where I had received checks from the government. I mean, clearly, it's my money. Like, I overpaid my taxes, whatever, but, like, not expecting it and receiving checks for like amounts that I would never believe, and being like, he's gonna take care of you. Like, it's just like money is gone today, like there tomorrow. Like, literally that check thing, like, I hope it happens to everyone, but that is like direct messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me that like don't chase money. Like, don't ever chase money. I never felt like, I love like the concept of like making sales and business and all of that, but like the actual like money, like I don't care.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more detached you get from it, the more easy it kind of is.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are just some stories of like that increased my tawakkul, and in moments, and they always come at moments where I'm like really low, feeling like, okay, I need to go back. Like, I need to go back to a job, or like, you know, things are not working out. And then being like, wait a second. Like, no, he's always taken care of me.
Yeah.
He will continue to take care of me. So that's when I know I made a good decision.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
So if someone's listening right now, you know, and they're scared to speak up, do the thing that they believe is right in their heart, you know, they really believed it. Let go of that job or that opportunity, you know, take on that next phase of their life, right? For that person, what would you say to them?
I would give you a couple of sex and steps. I mean, like, risky me would be like, just move on. Like, you know, I have a very risky entrepreneur personality, but I would take a couple steps. I would do it. If you're like really not decided, I would do a Sahara. Start paying the Hajjud even just for a week, just to like get that clarity. And then make that decision based on that. Like, you will have clarity. I would say, like, if financially, you should probably be financially secure. I do feel very privileged. Like, for anyone listening, like, obviously this would be a different situation if my husband wasn't taking care of everything. So I want to cut that out there, because I think that it was much less of a risk for me. So what I look as a risk for others, it might be a bit riskier for you. Whereas, like, for me, I felt like it wasn't going to really move the needle too much. So I would do those few things. But really think about, like, when you're lying on your deathbed, are you going to wish you, like, stayed in that crappy job? Like, are you going to wish that you made more money? Like, no, you're going to wish you, like, spoke out about what you believed in. You're going to wish you traveled with your kids, like, spent more time with your parents and your family. Like, I do that deathbed scenario a lot, actually. That's something we did in the MBA program. It was actually pretty morbid. We had to lie down on the ground and pretend we were on our deathbed. It was, like, pretty intense, but that gave me so much clarity there. And I do that a lot, where I think about, like, okay, am I going to regret, like, not dedicating this Instagram page to Gaza and the Palestinians? Like, yes. And even now, I'm like, why didn't I do this immediately?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I? It makes no sense to me. So I think that makes decisions easier, because you're not home tomorrow.
Yeah.
You might be gone tomorrow. Are you, like, going to wish that you had quit your job? Like, a bit? Yes. Like, if it's a crappy job, yeah, it's stressing you out. And there's always more. Like, there's always something better waiting for you.
Yeah.
And again, the conversation is different depending on, like, your situation and your role in your family. But that's what I would say the steps are.
Yeah.
It's the Sahara, the Hajjud, and just go for it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I do believe that what you shared is a lot of the very word masterclass. And so, you know, that belief in Allah and that tawakkul, that, you know, something better is waiting for you. And that these phases exist for everyone.
Yeah.
You do not have, I mean, if that's the one phase that you're happy with and are satisfied with, sure. Alhamdulillah. But, you know, different phases exist, and you can take things over from phase to phase. As long as you have that tawakkul, as long as, you know, you show up every single time, and it doesn't stop you from action and have the right intentions, you know, inshallah, it'll all be okay and something better will be written for you. So I appreciate that reminder. You know, I appreciate the story. It's like, you've been completely honest about times where, you know, like, you cried because you're like,
yeah.
Is it the reminder? I appreciate that a lot.
Oh, it's true. There's so many moments where, if you're really thinking about it, they're messages from all
day. Yeah.
They're like, in every single day, there's messages.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. If there's anything else you want to leave them with.
I think it's important to just emphasize that it might seem like everything is, like, really great and, you know, going well for other people, including me, but everyone is struggling. Like, everyone has a struggle. And of course, everyone knows social media isn't real. And no matter how real I try to be on social media, like, it's difficult. Like, everyone is struggling. So just give people grace. I guess I want to share that. And to anyone who's listening who's a mother, like, we're all struggling. And especially if you've gone from, like, always working these, like, high power jobs, and then all of a sudden you feel like you've been reduced to, like, laundry folder. And yeah, it's rough. it's rough and no one talks about it.
Yeah.
And I feel that we're raised to maybe be in this like working environment. We're not necessarily raised to being moms and taking care of it, the home and kids. So I don't have the solution for it, but these are just things that are kind of on my mind that I would love for someone to discuss, maybe who's been a mom for longer or been in these positions. Because it might sound like, oh, she's got everything together, and I most definitely do not. Like, my kids did not eat the dinner I made for them today. Like, they're not gonna go to bed on time because I'm not
home. I can talk about this stuff.
Yeah, so it's tough, and just hopefully everyone gets the support that they need, because we all do need support.
Sure. No, Jazakallah Khair for sitting down with us again, and we really appreciate it. We really appreciate all the reminders, and I know the listeners will too. Jazakallah Khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.